I'm wearing green today, as you can tell, and you came in this morning, and many of you received green things because you were not in green, even though today is not St. Patrick's Day. But the kids after the service are doing a big scavenger hunt that Renee's put on for them for St. Patrick's Day, so just know that there may be some chaos going on after church, and that's okay, right? I have in many different ways from this pulpit said what the Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael Ramsay, once said, and this is what he said. God is Christ-like, and in Him, in God, there is no un-Christ-likeness at all. Or, I have also quoted the charismatic pastor from Missouri, Brian Zahn. He puts it this way. God is like Jesus. God is exactly like Jesus. God has always been exactly like Jesus. We may not have known that, but we do know it now. Friends, the revelation of Jesus is not saying to us, you know, I used to be pretty ticked at the whole world and the whole lot of you, but now I think I will act like Jesus. That's not what Jesus says to us. So I ask you this morning, who is God like in your imagination? Who is God like in your imagination? When you image God in your mind, what is the picture? Now, we can't, we Protestants, we get all messed up on this kind of stuff. Well, you can't read and enter into the parables of Jesus without creating pictures in your head. You just can't do it. The metaphors are all over the Bible, those pictures. So how do you and I picture God? I wish I could sit down with each of you and just in my study alone and say, Nicole, how do you picture God? I know you picture God. You love art. You're an art history major. So how do you picture God? Well, that's an honest answer. Okay, I'll let you off the hook. Thank you. Yeah, no problem. I mean, I wish I could sit down with each one of you and ask you that, because you all have images of God in your head. Paul tells us clearly in Colossians 1 that Jesus is the icon of the invisible God. That's his word in the Greek, icon. Or we could put, just he puts it this way in our translations, he is the image of the invisible God, Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He has always been like Jesus, and he will always be like Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. What does God look like, act like? How does he view people? Look at the icon. Look at Jesus. I believe that is the most profound thought in the history of the world. The icon of God is Jesus Christ. That is why I have so many images in my study and why Carrie and I have them in our home. Because the big question is, God. Who is God? Is there a God? What is God like? Can I trust God? Does God like me? Does God love me? Those are two different questions. One of my favorite hospice patients was the man on the screen, Monsieur Father Skian. I loved this guy. He was a friend. We did Good Friday services together. We did funerals together. I sought him out for spiritual direction. We prayed for each other in his assisted living residence in Moses Lake every time I went into the building. I was with him when he died, and I was with him the day before. I stopped to see him in the hospital on a 7 a.m. round. No one was expecting his death. He was sleeping, and I slid quietly alongside the bed. I had told him the night before I would stop by and see him. And I opened my prayer book, Common Book of Prayer, and I prayed the daily office over him. And very soon after I started, and I was praying really quietly, With his eyes closed, this wrinkled old Catholic priest started to pray the prayers and all of the scriptures word for word, not missing a beat. Tears filled my eyes. It was a holy moment. And then we said amen together. I always called him Father Skian. Mid-conversation, as we were talking after that, he reached out, this old Catholic priest, and grabbed my hand. And he said to me, "You know, Mark, you can call me Martin." Do you understand what that means to have an old Irish Catholic priest give you permission to call him by his first name? You can call me Martin. And I just, that was not going to happen, I told him. I said, "Okay, I know I'm a Protestant, and I know you're a Catholic, but understand, you're still my priest." And he burst out laughing, and he patted my hand. And he says, "Oh, Mark, you know you would make such a great Catholic." Catholics talk about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Father Skian talked about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is God's boundless and passionate love for all people. The heart of Jesus is a long-suffering love. God in Jesus Christ has taken the long journey to the cross with laser eye focus and determination while facing obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. Often in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, in all of them really, it's imaged as on fire. His heart is on fire. It shines with holy light. It's burning with love for people. Often a crown of thorns, it encircles the heart. Jesus is frequently pictured holding the heart in one hand, and he's pointing to it with the nail hole in his other hand. This is the heart of Jesus for us. Many thought the side wound of Jesus went in and punctured his Sacred Heart. Those are all Lenten images. We look at what Christ walked for us, and we start asking, "Oh, how focused is my life to him?" I like the images of Jesus' heart being punctured, pierced, stabbed. And you want to know why? Because that's a pastor's heart. That's a pastor's heart. A pastor's heart is a wounded and pierced heart. I hope that's my heart. At the end of the Chosen, when Reb Saunders is telling his son Danny, without talking to Danny, Danny's just sitting there, and he's telling Reuben why he raised his son in silence, but he's really telling Danny. And Danny's sitting there sobbing. And he just talked about that a tzaddik, a holy person, a holy man, a pastor, knows the suffering of the people. So that even when they dance, even when they're smiling, they're weeping because they know the suffering of their people. Jesus is sorrowful over Jerusalem in our passage. That's what's going on. His heart is wrenched. A group of Pharisees tell Jesus to run and to scurry down the road because Herod wants to kill him. Protect your sacred heart, if you really have one. Get your heart away from Herod, Jesus. Get away. This is the temptation all over again. And now the Pharisees understand they're no friend of Jesus. Herod, well, he's even worse. Why are these Pharisees pushing Jesus down the road is debatable. But it sure seems that Jesus is on to them. He sees something's going on. It's kind of like junior high teachers. I was telling Frank, I'm going to use you this morning, and Cameron and Katie. They walk into a classroom with all the kids snickering. with their eyes, the kids' eyes are glued on a location in the room where the prank is supposed to reveal the genius of the class and the stupidity of this teacher. You know what I'm talking about. They don't even have to look, these teachers. They just feel the prank in the air. Kids are so dumb. They're trying to get rid of him, to divert him from his mission, these Pharisees, to make their lives easier instead of stirring up the people more. So Jesus, just go down the road. Herod's trying to kill you. Jesus doesn't think they are trying to be nice to him. They aren't hoping to protect Jesus. We don't want Herod to kill you. He sends them back to Herod, though. I love that. Herod's a fox. He's a rat. Herod's a snake. He is conniving, slithering, slimy snake. You see, in rabbinic literature, a fox is cunning. A fox is often compared with a lion, with an Aslan figure. The messianic lion of Genesis 49 and Revelation 5, where we are told, do not weep. See the lion of the tribe of Judah. And then the lion is quickly morphed into a lamb in Revelation. And for the rest of the book of Revelation, there's no lion. There's the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then, you see, that's the mission of Jesus. Maybe in that little word fox here, we are to hear lion and lamb, Messiah. But for sure, Jesus will not. He will not take direction from Fox Herod. You go and tell that fox, in other words, you go and tell that political parasite, he is not my boss. You go and tell Joe Biden he is not my boss. You go and tell Donald Trump he is not my boss. Jesus will not place his hand on his heart and pledge allegiance to the fox Herod. Jesus will keep healing the needy and the vulnerable. Jesus will invade the spaces of powers of demonic darkness. He is going to press on to Jerusalem because he knows they're not nice to their prophets, and he's going to die there. It will culminate on the third day. That is what it says. The third day I will reach my goal. I love that. He will not be deterred today or tomorrow, and that's just a way of speaking of this period of time into the future. But the third day, I'll reach my goal. The third day, the Sacred Heart of Jesus reaches its goal. Luke's gospel tells us in chapter 2, verse 46, it was the third day after Jesus had been missing that his parents found him in the temple teaching the adults. The third day. My guess is junior high Jesus probably got a holy scolding from Mary. And then at the end of Luke's gospel, we have that famous Road to Emmaus story. Two disciples are discussing the mind-boggling experience of all they had seen and heard. Jesus was crucified. He was very much dead. The women, they think they're crazy. They return from the tomb saying, Jesus is alive, and it is the third day since this all took place, the third day. Jesus is determined to have his heart embedded with the crown of thorns, his sacred heart. This is a visual of God's love for his creation. When Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and Jerusalem ended the sentence before it, we must feel his sorrow. It's the doubling of the word Jerusalem. It means he's lamenting. He's weeping. He has a deep, deep grief. Jesus says in Luke 10, Martha, Martha, he's lamenting over her just not getting it. Why are you fretting? King David, when his son Absalom died, he cries out, my son Absalom, my son, my son. Over and over, he repeats, son. I remember standing over my son, Jesse, when he was at Sacred Heart ICU for 8 days straight. He doesn't remember any of it. And just at times just saying, Jesse, Jesse. That's all I could say. Just his name. Repeating his name was the only prayer language I had. That's all I could say. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And Jesus gives us a picture of his Sacred Heart. Right here in the text. It's a feminine picture. It is a picture of a hovering, protective mother. Literally hovering. It's an image of love and self-sacrifice, which every mother understands. Fire was always an ever-present danger in the ancient world. I mean, we have fire trucks and fire hoses and hydrants. But let's be honest, the bucket brigade method had its extreme limitations of putting fires out. Fires would quickly get out of control. We in recent years have had fires move closer and closer to us in Ephrata. We drive over ryegrass and see flames dancing in the warm breeze of the sagebrush. I've seen it. We have smoke clouds causing streetlights to shine at noon. We have canceled church because of fire, because of smoke. The recent LA fires were haunting. In 64 AD, a fire burned in Rome and burned half the city, burned a week. I know the word fire doesn't appear in this passage, but I want you to know it is completely behind the image of Jesus. Jesus is imagining a farm country with his image. Fire can cause fenced-in animals to freak out in fear. Like any species, when fire rushes into a yard, the animals look for ways to escape. What happens if they are unable to dash to fire freedom? Animals have found ways to protect their young in the midst of tragedy. A mother hen protects her chicks by covering her young with her wings. That's the picture Jesus gives. It's like a parent throwing themselves on top of their children during a shooting. Let the bullet hit me. Carrie was teaching in the Moses Lake School District in a modular outside of where, I know it's not called Chief Mo anymore, and I can never remember what it is. Thank you. And she was in this modular, and a gunman was spotted on the campus and was running around the campus with his gun out. So the police were there, and they had their guns pulled, and they were running around trying to find this guy, and they were in lockdown for 2 hours. Carrie's students whimpered and cried with backpacks jammed with books covering their chest, hopefully that would help them. That's part of what they learn. Carrie was ready to fight if her door was breached, to throw her life between the gunman and her class. They asked her, her kids asked her, when it was all over, what she was thinking. What was she willing to do? And her response was, I was going to go at him with everything I had to get between him and you. And before that, she said, I prayed. I've been praying the whole time that the presence of Jesus would cover us in this room. And her class's response was, oh, Mrs. Bassett, I knew you were praying for us. I knew you were praying for us. Understand that after a farmyard fire, people have found a dead hen. She had been torched, burned to death, blackened, but under her outstretched wings are live chicks. This is a biblical image of the character of God and what Jesus communicates to us, to you and me right here. It's the safe picture of a Sacred Heart of Jesus. Deuteronomy 32, God is like an eagle that stirs this nest and hovers over the young. Psalm 17, hide me in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 37, both high and low, find refuge in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 57, I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster is past. Psalm 61, I long to take refuge in the shadow of your wings. The mother hen has given her life to save her young. That's Jesus. And this is what Jesus is promising for Jerusalem. Jesus will be blackened in fiery death while protecting his people under his wings. With all this fire talk, let me remind us that fire is an image of hell. The fires of hell. Eternal hell. It's always interesting that it's also called eternal darkness. I always light a fire to get light. And Jesus, with his imagery, reminds us that we are under his wings and we won't get burned. I started this message saying God is like Jesus, exactly like Jesus. God has always been exactly like Jesus. We may have not known that, but we do know that now. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is wrapped in the crown of thorns. His heart bleeds for us. And no matter what you or I are facing this morning, we are given by Jesus this image. The image of a hen spreading its wings to cover her chick children in danger, fire danger. And in that process, all the chicks live. But the mother hen dies by the fire. I want to say to us here at our Redeemer Church this morning, behold your God. Because God has always been like Jesus. And Jesus came to show us that. He is the image of the invisible God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray.